And good afternoon to you. I'm Kim McAllister, and this is the Nikki Maduro Show. Sorry, I was a bit tardy coming over from Mark's show, having to set everything up. But thank you for being here. Anyway, I appreciate you joining us on the Nikki Maduro Show today. And of course, you know, it's all about Tucker Carlson. I want to hear what you really feel. You know, sometimes we take a lot of comments here on the show, and I really have been from the time I woke up this morning and found out that Tucker Carlson has gone away, as has Don Lemon. I couldn't wait to hear what you thought about what's happening. I feel like, and I'll just start it with this. As I was mentioning earlier this morning, I feel like sometimes when you are a little too happy or celebrate someone else's misfortune, that can come back to you in the end. But it's hard not to feel bad, let's say, about someone who has purposely lied to the American people, who has created such division and sowed so much hatred, who has, I don't want to say brainwashed, but dished up a bunch of stuff that people just swallowed without even thinking about it. You know, knowing a person who knows what makes a certain segment of the population feel comfortable with their hate, feel comfortable feeling these things, and makes that okay. I'm not sorry to see him go. Of course, as Mark was saying earlier, he'll pop up somewhere else. He's not gone forever. But on this platform, Fox, which, you know, had a lot of viewers, and he was number one on that station, I hope that his platform is smaller, and that in order to get to that hate and to get to those lies, that you would actually have to do more work to seek him out. That's the best I can hope for. So, not sorry to see him go. Feel like, you know, especially ahead of the 2024 presidential election, that it is a service to the country not to have him on the air. And Don Lemon, a lot of people love Don Lemon's New Year's Eve antics. I didn't mind Don Lemon. Sometimes he got a little preachy, but I've always felt like he offered something. I think with the most recent allegations of him not understanding the line not to cross when you're talking about offending women, you know, his stock kind of went down a bit. But I'm interested in seeing what you have to say about all this. No, brainwashed is a good word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an opening at Fox News for a gig. I don't care how much money I was offered. You could offer me $10 million for a 2-week gig. But if you told me that I had to go on the air and look at the American people and lie to them, I would say no thank you. Because every day when I get up and, you know, look in the bathroom mirror, I don't have to look away, other than like the fine lines and the gray hair coming in. That makes me step aside a little bit. Maybe I don't look in the mirror as much as I used to. But you know what? I can look myself in the eye and I can feel good about everything I say, because it's the truth that I believe, that I have done research, that I have looked into the stories I'm telling you, that I am telling you the truth to the best of my ability. Do I make mistakes? Everybody does. Do I ever have to come back and say, oh, I got that wrong? You've heard me do it. Yes, I do, because I'm a human being, not AI, right? But if I could not ever, ever on YouTube, on former Station X, on anywhere else, knowingly lie to people. Couldn't do it. I don't care how much money. And I don't know how he looks in the mirror and feels good about himself. Or if maybe this whole thing started as self-loathing in the first place. I don't know. Let's talk a little bit more about what you think, though. David O'Dell writes, the timing is a little too coincidental not to be related to the Dominion lawsuit. Maybe Fox is tired of Tucker exposing them to massive financial settlements. Maybe they are. But don't you think if it was part of the settlement, that would have been released as such. So, you know, if part of the settlement, along with the $787 million, was getting rid of Tucker Carlson and bidding him sayonara, sucker, I think it would have been released as part of that. Maybe not. Or maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the station's like, you know what? We can't anymore. But the thing about that is, David, if you think about it, he's not the only one that was, you know, spreading election lies. So why just him then? Why not all of them? Why not all of the lying liars who lie? Why are they not all out on their rear ends? So I don't know. I mean, because he's the chief of all the liars? Maybe. I don't know. Vilma writes, Tucker Carlson, don't let the door hit you in the back. We say, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Carlson was born rich and really doesn't need money. All he wants is attention, ours. Never had my attention. As a matter of fact, and I do believe in knowing your opponent's argument. I agree with John Rothman in that he always said he, you know, watched Fox News because he wanted to understand both sides of the issue. And I get that. But it comes to a certain point where you understand the issue, and now all you're doing by showing up and being a number in the ratings is saying somehow that you approve. And I don't want that toxic stuff in my life. I don't. So I can understand the issue, but I think the issue for me is not listening to lies as well. You know, that's not understanding both sides of an argument. There are two sides to the abortion argument. I can completely say that, you know, I understand both sides, and I understand why some people are against abortion or against people having the choice. I understand it. That's two sides of an issue. And yes, we should understand both before we make our decision as to how we feel. But when you're spewing lies, you're not really giving me both sides of an argument. You're just giving me falsehoods. And is it important to understand what people are being told and how you need to reset the table with the truth? Yes. Wes, thank you so much for the $10. Can't stick around long today. Need to run some errands. You mean you have a life to live, Wes? What's that about? Something's wrong with the link in YouTube today. Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm glad you found the show anyway. Maybe that's going to hold me back a little. I'm sorry. Whatever I've done on YouTube, consider it operator error. Thank you. Of course, you know that I'll get Tucker down because, you know, we don't have to look at him anymore. Not on this show either. Thank you for the contribution to the show. Of course, you know, Nikki has a second job. And so there will be days where I'm filling in because she can't be here, but we want to keep the show going. And it might not be as long as 2 hours, although we hope it will be, but that really helps us out and helps us keep doing what we're doing. So if you like it, thank you for the contribution. And it's a perfect opportunity for me to tell you that you can not only find us like Wes did with the super sticker here on YouTube, which is lovely. And it's this instantaneous thing. But you can also become a Patreon member and contribute via PayPal. And it's that Patreon membership where it's like a monthly $5 or whatever it is, as they say, price of a cup of coffee, that really helps us be able to know that we can count on that every month. So that's a great way to support the show. Again, you can find us at thenickimadoroshow.com. And that is also where you can find the website to lead to the merchandise. So there's a lot of really cool merchandise at the Nikki Maduro shop. You've got the sweatshirt, which is nice. You even got the AirPod case. So, you know, a lot of options there for you. The Nikki Maduro hoodie, always a nice one. Pretty cute. And you can find it at two places, thenickimadoroshop.com or thenickimadoroshow.com. That will lead you there as well. And don't forget to click the thumbs up button. That is free, and we appreciate that as well. So if you can take just a moment and click that thumbs up button for us, we would appreciate that so much, so, so much, because it helps us get higher in the YouTube algorithm ratings or whatever it is that they do. Anyway, thank you for clicking the thumbs up button. And I have to say thank you also to Beth Farmer, I believe. Let me go back in the chat, who just threw down another super sticker. Beth, yay, thank you so much. That's so kind. Thank you for doing that. Oh, my screen just went really big. I don't know why. There it is. So thank you very much for that, Beth. I'm very grateful for your support. And every time you guys financially support us or say something in the chat, it makes us feel like you're with us and you're part of this. So we really, really appreciate it. Beth, thank you. And Wes as well. Randy writes, Rothman is right. You need to watch shows of those whose opinions and reporting don't agree with yours. To a point. I guess my point is, Randy, that if those shows are giving me the alternate viewpoint, that's one thing. I do want to understand both sides of, say, the United States giving tanks to Ukraine, or both sides of, I don't know, calling in the National Guard in San Francisco to get rid of fentanyl, whatever it is, whatever the issue is, I want to understand both sides of it. What I don't want to have is to be told lies. Is it important for me to understand that other people are being told lies and to correct them? Yes. But the watching of that every single day, I just don't think it's necessary. I don't. Because in addition, you can get those alternate viewpoints or the argument that maybe doesn't match your own in other places. You can read it. You don't have to watch that craziness. You know, I can't do it. Greg writes, numerous lawsuits involving other Fox types starting to circle the wagons, as well they should. I don't understand why the American people haven't sued, honestly. I don't understand why all the people that were lied to when those emails came out and when everyone figured out, oh, they knew they were lying to us the whole time. Why didn't viewers that were upset, if there were any, say, you can't use the public airwaves for such blatant mistruths? Why aren't the viewers suing, you know, for being spoon-fed a bunch of crap? John writes, Fox News relies on constantly ginning up these viewers about something, like right now, it's Bud Light. Is it? I don't know. I hate to do it. I hate to do it because I just said I wasn't going to. But what is the lead on Fox News website right now? You think they're talking about Tucker Carlson? No. Nope. Top thing on the Fox News website right now, I'll share it with you, is about Alex Murdaugh. Yeah, that's right. Here it is. Convicted killer Alex Murdaugh's legal troubles deepen with fresh indictments. Guilty pleasure. That is the top thing on the website. Then they have a green monster. Man sucker punches woman during Earth Day event, feet away from the New York City mayor. Third on the bill. CNN Insider says staffers are, quote, pissed at the network spending reported millions on Gayle King. You want to talk about Gayle King and not Tucker Carlson, huh? And then liberal celebrities, journalists furious that Musk gave them their blue check back. Finished with stand-up. Nope. The further down I go, oh, finally, here we go. Way down at the bottom. Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson part ways. Show will be hosted by rotating personalities. But look how far down that was. So that's what they're doing. I mean, I guess you don't want to highlight that you just let your, you know, main personality go. JC writes, the problem is that a lot of people can't differentiate a lie instead of doing some research on their own. And a lot of people don't know where to do the research. A lot of people will see, we saw this during the pandemic, where there would be like an anti-vaxxer video and the person had a white lab coat on and looked all official. And it was totally bogus, right? And so you would have these people spreading around this. I had friends that were posting this on Facebook and I had to say, this is not true. None of what you're saying is true. None of it. Tried to say it nicely, but people don't. Floyd's Key writes, I respectfully agree with Randy. I like to hear both sides. Okay, but and answer me this, please, because yes, I do too. I feel both sides of an argument are really important. But how much of it do you need? Do you need a daily dose of Fox? And do you need the lies to understand the argument? Are the lies part of the argument? Or does the issue actually have two bona fide sides? And the lies are just kind of extra over here. Do you need to understand the lies too? Tell me what you think. I love this conversation because I've always felt like I didn't, you know, I know what the lies are. I know they're lying about the election. I know how they're lying about the election, but do I need to sit down and hear it every single day? Because it's the same lie over and over and over again. I don't feel like I need that. Randy writes, the other thing Fox talks about a lot is the situation at the southern border. And face it, we have real problems at the southern border. I think everybody agrees. That's true. That's true. I don't know if everything they say is true, because once they start lying about one thing, then I find that everything they have to say is suspect. Don't believe any of it now. The fact that they say Fox and have news after it, no. Mm-mm. I'm offended. Do we have problems at the border? Absolutely. Do we have problems with immigration in this country and our policies? Absolutely. I don't know how to fix it, but yeah, it's not working. When you still have signs on restaurants and doors all over the place saying, you know, we're looking for help and we might have to close if we don't find enough staffers to keep our restaurant open. You have small businesses failing because there are not enough people to take the jobs. That's a whole nother thing about immigration, right? Katie Lynch, I've wondered about Fox's advertisers. Were these companies aware of the bold lies? They were paying for that. Will there be lawsuits from their old clients? That's interesting. You know, I would think that many people knew that they were advertising on a station that told these lies, and maybe they were part of the contingent that those lies made them feel comfortable in their own skin with their own thoughts and beliefs. Or maybe they just saw the viewership and saw dollar signs and thought, well, look how many viewers they have. You know, here's what makes sense for us to get the most bang for our buck. Here's who our customer base is as we're selling hearing aids to old people or whatever it is. This is where we're going to advertise. Maybe that's what they thought. And they're just looking at the bottom line, not even thinking about the morality of advertising on such a place. Miss Truths, writes Robert Marr. Miss Truths, yes. These presentations are like crying fire in a theater on a national platform, and they get away with it. Meanwhile, the FCC is silent. That says something. I mean, if ever there was a time for the FCC to jump in and say, you know, we're okay with you using the public airwaves for your own monetary making, but to a point. If you start lying to people and affecting America like this, yeah. Vilma, when there's nothing to talk about on Fox News, they usually talk about immigration, Hunter Biden, and all the crime in blue states. Because they have an agenda. Square, even Fox has to allocate a percentage of their total on legit issues, just enough to disguise their real agenda. But how do you know which is which? I mean, can you trust them? I don't think so. I don't think you can trust. Because it's like I tell my son, who's very fond of tall tales. We have the tall tales going on at my house. Once you start telling tall tales, like it's the boy who cried wolf, then nobody believes you when you're really telling the truth. I don't think anybody cares when it's about Fox, though. Lori writes, I want to know what others are believing, but I can't do it daily. It's important to see what people believe since they have an effect on elections. I guess I'm not saying stick your head in a hole in the ground, you know, like do the ostrich thing and, only believe what you believe and don't look around and see what's going on around you. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I feel like watching that station every day doesn't do you a service. You know, you can know what they're saying. You can hear it here or on Mark's show. You don't necessarily need to dive in with both feet. But if you want to. Mindy says we could use immigrants to help in our restaurants and other places, right? Yeah. Vilma, the problem is, as stated, people watch Fox News, believe the other side of the issue is Fox's viewpoint. They believe that CNN, ABC, and NBC are tainted news. Because and I think this is when it started, when former President Trump started campaigning and got into office, he made the mainstream media basically an enemy of the people, right? He would blame everything on the mainstream media. He called the mainstream media into doubt to basically push his own lies. So, Eric writes, Fox gets most of their money from their deals with cable companies. The actual advertisers were only a small amount of their revenue. Yeah, no, I don't think it's about Fox getting money. I think it's about the advertisers getting money. People ask why wouldn't clients sue advertisers for supporting Fox? And I think one of the reasons advertisers would, you know, climb aboard the Fox train is because maybe it helps the advertiser's business. But yes, I see what you're saying. John Slade, Hunter Biden is the most important issue facing America today. Right. I mean, and do you believe that? I don't believe that. I don't. Floyd's Key, I see how a segment of the population is misled. That's right. I think they do, though, Randy. That's a good point. Thank you for that. Fox News, he says, isn't on the public airwaves. I believe I misspoke. So, see, this is a point where, oh, I realize I've misspoke. I've said something wrong. Let's pull it back. Let's listen to what Randy has to say. Yes, Fox News is not on public airwaves. It's on cable. I think that means it's not regulated by the FCC. You might be right. I think they are in some capability, but I just don't know. I don't know what they are. I've never worked at a station that wasn't on the public airwaves. So every place I've ever worked, I've had to follow the FCC guidelines and rules. So I don't know enough about it. So I shouldn't speak on it. Isn't cable TV not held to FCC regulations, right, Leon? Yes, you're probably right. I'm so sorry, you guys. Tracy writes, I'm not sorry to see him go. I assume you're talking about Tucker and not Don. There are now peeps of a different lawsuit coming up. Yeah. Well, and still with the Dominion suit, they're not done either, right? There are still suits pending regarding that case as well. Robert writes, by the way, what have McCarthy and the Republicans proposed about the border other than Trump's wall? Republicans only offer tax breaks and criticism, no ability to put forth effective policy and legislation. Good point. Very good point. Leon writes, Hitler and the other strong men made the media, free press, the enemy. It was, you know, I hate to compare Trump to Hitler because as I, you know, I was involved in a conversation with my husband a while back where he was talking about how the comparison is there's, you can make the comparison, but when you talk about Hitler, they were walking into newsrooms shooting people, right? That didn't happen here. Did they lay the groundwork, the Trump administration and Trump himself, for making the media the enemy? Yes, they did. So that's where the comparison comes in. But make no mistake, you know, the extremes are not there. John writes, Sucker Carlson basically pushed the idea that Ray Epps was a government agent that caused the violence at the insurrection. Maybe this is important because I didn't watch him. Because I couldn't stomach it. I don't know that that's what he was pushing. So maybe that's true. And I don't know because I was not willing to swallow the lies or to even put myself anywhere in the vicinity of them. Tracy writes, Rebecca Solnit has something about 60 Minutes interview that was just on the air. I don't know anything about that. But thank you for your comments about that. Are we as upset about Don Lemon being released from CNN as we are about Tucker? I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like people, when they hear Tucker Carlson's got fired, they're like, oh, when you hear Don Lemon got fired, it's like, oh, anybody upset about that? I don't know. It's all opinion. That's the thing about both of these channels. CNN, you could argue, does have news broadcasts. They have reporters in the field. I guess Fox does too. But really, it's all opinion based. When you talk about what these hosts are saying, people like Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, right, when he was on. These are opinions. This is like if you had a newspaper, this would be the op-ed section. It's different too. It's very important to distinguish them from journalists. Journalists are out getting the facts of a story, setting it up so that you can understand it, and presenting both sides fairly. That's what journalists do. Vilma writes, Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family, the most important issue the country faces. I think you're being facetious, but yeah, I don't know. Emphasis on strong men in general. My mistake. No, I understand. Totally understand what you're saying. I get it. I get it. And I think a lot of people make that comparison. And I saw a lot of memes during the Trump administration comparing him to, you know, Nazis. And while there are comparisons to be made, I think it's important to not diminish the violence that happened in World War II and what the Nazis did. There's just, you know, it doesn't rise to that level, and it never did. Now, it might have hurt America. The lies hurt America. The you know, the pushing down of the media. In many cases, saying things that would actually put media members of the media in danger, right? All those things weren't good for America and so much more. So I don't know. Yeah, nobody's really commenting on Don Lemon. I think that the big news is Tucker Carlson's gone. C'est la vie. I'm not sorry about that. I think that's all right. I think it's okay. There's a story about what we want when it comes to our candidates. And it turns out many of us, I won't say me included, but many of the voters, they don't want older candidates. They want some young, fresh blood in the race. This is the story. There's a new poll that shows most voters would prefer to see younger candidates in the 2024 presidential race. This poll was done by NBC News, and it finds 70% of those surveyed believe President Biden should not run for re-election. 60% of those polled think former President Trump should also bow out of the race. So is it time for you know, the older guys, the older candidates, I should say, to check out? Are you not wanting to see that anymore? There's value that experience can bring. You know, I mean, President Biden has been in government, in politics, in public service for a long time, able to get things done because of it. So are we discounting that experience? Is that ageism? Or is it time to have fresh ideas? Is it a way to kind of cut ties with the ugly recent past of America and the whole Trump thing, to just say that generation is gone, let's bring in the fresh ideas and the fresh people? I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's an interesting thought that more voters are thinking that way. Kim writes, Don made a stupid comment. He got fired. Tucker had been lying to the public forever. Good riddance. Agree. David will miss Don Lemon's perspective on things. Leon writes, Don Lemon was a joy. I hope to see him again soon on television. All right. Yeah, I think you can make a mistake. I think you can say something, as I did today about the Fox and the FCC. Say something and realize that it was wrong. And I think right after he made a comment that was kind of detrimental to women, he apologized, right? He's like, oh, I realize what I've done here. Maybe it wasn't just that one thing. According to Mindy Lee, it is important that we keep Biden and Trump out. Why, Mindy? Why Biden? I mean, Trump, trust me. If he gets elected in 2024, as I mentioned previously, I'll be curled in a fetal position, rocking back and forth, begging for wine. But why Biden? Because I don't feel like right now America is going in the wrong direction. Do we have problems? Is everything perfect? No. Are there some things I might do differently or hope that he would do differently? Yes. But I don't feel the panic or like the rest of the world is laughing at us because of who we elected. I don't have those feelings, like that we're some kind of international joke. I feel like we're kind of, you know, coming back from all that. So why not President Biden? Just too old? Is that what you're saying? Kim says, Don will likely show up where Cuomo is at News Nation. He's got a friend over there. It's all about who you know, sister. Eric Kennedy says, I misread that. Biden. Oh, did I miss? Let's go back. My apologies. If I misread it, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm going too fast. And now, of course, I can't find the text. It is important that we keep Biden in and Trump out. Got it. I'm sorry. Now I understand you, Mindy. You guys are correcting me all over the place today. Lord knows I need help. I'm telling you. Thank you, Eric, for letting me know that. I appreciate it. Vilma says, I believe we should pass the torch to a younger generation. Is it just because we need that new, fresh perspective? Is it because, I don't know, it's time for new ideas? Do you feel the older generation has nothing to offer, or they've already had their moment and now it's time to move on? Mindy says, Biden's fine. Stop it with the ageism. I think he's fine. The question is, can he win again? I've seen some polls, and I know it's polls, and I know it's early, and I know don't take stock in polls, but I've seen some polls that kind of throw that into question. Liz says, seems Tucker and Don have retained the same lawyer, Brian Friedman. Are they going to sue? I mean, getting fired when you're a member of the media, kind of par for the course. Nothing lasts forever. You know, at some point, unless you're doing the show yourself, like Mark is, like Nikki and I am. And even now I don't have my own show, so I'm at anyone else's mercy. Unless you have your own show, you can always be shown the door at any moment. That's just part of being in radio. I imagine TV is pretty much the same way. John says, I think CNN is now saying Lemon wasn't fired. He decided not to meet with CNN management about his contract or something. See, I thought he decided not to meet with CNN about being fired, that his agent informed him his services were no longer needed and that he was invited to go talk to management so that they could deliver that message in person. But he's like, yeah, no, thank you. I mean, and truly, if you already knew from your agent that your contract wasn't being renewed, what's the reason to go? I think there's always a good reason, because I wouldn't want to burn bridges. You never know when those doors are going to be reopened. I think I was laid off at KGO when they got rid of the whole newsroom, and I was hired back 2 days later. There were some people that got called into the conference room to be laid off that got really angry and were like, F you. And then there were some people that walked into the conference room to be fired that, you know, knew it was coming and went in and said, thank you for the opportunity. Is there any chance to be hired back? You know, what's the station doing moving forward? That type of thing. If you keep the doors open, you never know. I guess there's at some point you don't care anymore. You'd never take the job back. So burning a bridge is fine. But I don't know if I was Don Lemon, if I would have taken that particular tack, unless he was just so angry that he knew a lawsuit was coming soon to a theater near you. Dusta Hughes Eisenman, thank you for being here today. I haven't seen your name before, so I'm thankful to have you aboard. Writes, when a candidate is in their 80s, you have to start worrying about cognitive abilities. We haven't in the past, though. I don't remember, and I was young, but I don't remember seeing anything when Reagan was in office about his cognitive abilities. It was very well hidden, and he had the beginning of Alzheimer's back then. And now, reading back, you know, stories from that White House, that administration, you find that there were some serious signs and that people had to do a lot of covering. But, you know, I don't think we had really worried about that in the past with people that were older, especially because before an election, your doctor has to give you a clean bill of health. Biden wouldn't turn this country into a dictatorship. Trump would. That's why I'm leaning left right now. Yeah, I'm telling you, Floyd's key. I don't want to say America wouldn't survive another Trump presidency, because I know in history we've been through worse. We've been through a civil war where we were killing each other, right? So I'd like to think that no matter who's in charge, no matter who's president, we'll always come out the other side of it and we'll always somehow manage to cobble it back together and be okay. But after last time and after January 16th, let's just say I have horrible worries and I would be devastated for this country, which I love, and for myself, because, I mean, we're American, right? We don't want to see this country fail. I would feel that it was, we were putting our whole country in danger and the world as well. I didn't trust him with the nuclear codes. I don't know about you guys. I really had serious concerns that he was unstable enough to do something bad. And now we see stories from people in the administration that may have been worried about the same thing and were taking steps to kind of blunt any damage. The Lady Beatrice, hi you, says, raise your mint julep to the fact that Tucker Carlson will never work as a journalist again because the networks won't hire that liar. Yeah. I'll drink to that. This is my my coconut pineapple bubbly water. So thank you for allowing me to wet my whistle, Lady Beatrice. Amy writes, thank you, Kim. You're doing a good job. I will be in a fetal position too if Trump ever gets into the White House again. Oh, don't even, I mean, the thought. Thought's frightening. Have we done that? I mean, and if that's what the poll is saying when you talk about the NBC poll, 70% surveyed believe President Biden should not run for re-election. 60% of those polled think former President Trump should also bow out. Listen, I don't even care what your reason is. If you think it's because he's too old, fine. As long as you don't re-elect that guy, I'm good with whatever. Regarding drinking to the ouster of Tucker Carlson, Eric writes, I agree with Vilma, but there doesn't seem to be any younger progressives in a position to step in. I'm not sure if you're talking about electing people and their ages or if you're talking about Tucker Carlson. David, not a fan of Tucker. Yeah. Mindy says Democrats need to get off their butts, go out and vote Democrat. Well, let's go back to that. Yes. Because look at what's important, what seems to be important to Republicans right now. And here are the things on my list that make me feel like it's the things they're fighting for are not really issues. They're just, here's what to be upset about and not real substantive issues. You're upset about trans women competing in sports. And your Republican governors are putting bans in place, even though there's no one in the state trying to compete in that sport. There are no trans women even trying to. I mean, so you're just stirring up the pot, right? You're banning drag performances, basically reading and in public spaces. I think I want to say it was Kentucky, one of those states. You know, I'm in California. That's what we call it. One of those states, one of those conservative red states. Banning drag performances on public property, which basically means you don't want the drag queens coming to your library to read to the kids. That's what you're upset about? Really? I mean, we saw Dame Edna passed away today. No one was upset about Dame Edna. Man in woman's clothing. Was that the grooming that we're so upset about? No. And so, you know, what I feel like is just a bunch of here's what you can be upset about. You know, your pearl clutching conservative, oh, we have a drag queen at the library. That's what you're upset about. Meanwhile, with the other hand, you're taking away the rights of women to choose. So if there is a reason to vote Democrat, Mindy, with you, sister. Eric says, when I talk about younger progressives, I emphasize progressive. The current Democratic Party is far too corporatist. I think you have to be careful when you talk about progressives and you can give, and yes, in many ways, yes, but also progressives can give Republicans fodder, like the whole, you know, they glom onto the woke thing, right? So I feel like it's okay. It's wonderful to put yourself in the shoes of other people and feel like, you know, what is it like to be them? What is it like to have a better understanding of people in the world around you? That's how we are all going to get along better, right? How we're going to end racism. If we at least can never, we can acknowledge that we'll never understand, if you're white, what it feels like to be discriminated against in that fashion, but you can try your hardest. And why is that bad to try to understand that? Why is that, you know, they put that in the, under the terminology woke, and then they ridicule you for it, for trying to be a good person and for trying to understand what others are going through and have some empathy in the world. So I think we have to be careful, because while progressiveness can be really great, it also can push those voters that are kind of more middle of the road, that maybe know that a Trump presidency would be really dangerous, to that, back to that side. So when you talk about progressives, yes, in some cases, I have a hard time not agreeing with that, but I also feel like we need to be a little bit more, you know, centrist and include everybody, at least so we don't end up with another Trump. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Lady Beatrice, you must have your own show. I do my best when I have a conversation and someone to talk to, like you guys are doing with me right now. And so that's what I really love. And I love spending my time with Nikki, and I love spending my time with Mark and Tony and Albert. So, and John Daly when he was on the show. So that's what makes radio or broadcasting fun for me. I don't necessarily know that I want to be doing it by myself. And that's why I don't have my own show, because I like to be with people. Be true, vote blue, writes the Lady Beatrice. Leon says, Lemon and Cuomo feuding now over Cuomo throwing him under the bus when he was fired. Cuomo claimed Don and others did mischief behind the scenes. Oh, and the plot thickens, right? Portions redacted. Love the name. Love it. I'm super glad Tucker's gone, but I really like Don Lemon. I wish he had stayed at his primetime spot on CNN. There were times that I really liked Don Lemon too. I really did. Jim, I think Mark was right this morning on Don Lemon. It's the Gayle King, Charles Barkley. I think they got to pull a lot of money and pay those two. And that's the thing, you know. Sometimes things circle around and you've had your day. I don't think Don Lemon is going to be hurting for money. So that's the good thing. We don't have to feel bad that he's going to be out on the street. He's not a journalist. The Lady Beatrice, he is not a journalist. He's he's the op-ed section of the newspaper. He's always been about opinion, never about fact, never about telling the both sides of a story. He is full on opinion, and that is different than journalism. She writes, Tucker Carlson shouldn't be in journalism to begin with. No network will hire him. Cheers to him never working again. He could be a panelist somewhere. He could be on some other opinion spewing place. He could set up a show on YouTube. I'm sure, as Mark said earlier, he'd have a lot of support. There's a lot of people that like him. Natalie writes, Don Lemon is not perfect, but I'm sure he will go on and do other work. Props to him as a gay man born in the 60s from Baton Rouge to go on to have a successful career outside of the South. Absolutely. Lori says, need younger candidates. Let experienced politicians be respected advisors. Oh, okay. Age brings a lot of issues that change in an instant from someone who knows. Experience important and brings good perspective. It is. You can't deny it. And we saw it with Biden in DC, knowing how everything works, knowing who to call on, knowing who's done what when, and how to get things through. And we saw it with Jerry Brown in California, you know, where other governors have faced the gridlock. Jerry Brown comes in and somehow manages to wrangle everybody up and get everything done. They know these people that have been around forever, know how the wheels are greased, know how to kind of push things forward. You could say that is good or bad, I suppose, because it's kind of business as usual when it happens. But how else do things get done? Now, John, you want to lose a presidential election? Nominate a progressive who wants to get rid of the Second Amendment and support socialism. That'll do it. Right? Although, I think there's a lot of problems with the Second Amendment. It doesn't really work for our country when we've got mass shootings all the time. And that's why the Constitution was written with the caveat that amendments are possible, that change is possible. Because the framers knew that not everything was going to stand the test of time, that we needed to be able to have this document that flowed. But yes, there are so many people who are Second Amendment, you know, got a sticker on the back of my car, you know, of their car, not mine, you know, that don't take my guns or pry it out of my cold, dead hands or whatever it is. I think you're right. The left will not win an election if they get too progressive about it. You got to stay middle of the road. Does that mean that you can't make changes to things? That you can't ban assault rifles, let's say? No. And when Dianne Feinstein was responsible for banning assault weapons, or certain assault weapons, after the massacre at 101 California in San Francisco, that stood for what, a decade? I think that worked out pretty well. Nick says, talking to Lori, we don't have extreme left in the U.S., not really. The right cries about it because they're busy moving further right. Isn't there a point, though, where they circle back around and become left again? I don't know. Eric says, we need real leftists in this conversation, even if they're not in a position to be elected, because we have to pull the windows leftwards. I think it's important, what you just said, Eric, to have everyone involved in the conversation, to have people that are very progressive involved as well. But I would caution progressives to attempt not to be so, I don't know, granola-y that they give the far right fodder to make fun of. I mean, you've got important progressive issues to talk about. You've got the environment to talk about, right? You got guns to talk about. You've got a lot of important things that progressives are, I think, maybe right on the money. But they shoot themselves in the foot, speaking of guns, when they alienate people from hearing the message. Our middle of the road is way more conservative than the rest of the world. I'll take it over the far right. There's that. John writes, I think banning all guns won't work. True. Just keeping weapons out of the hands of those who shouldn't have them is the best bet. How do we do it, John? You're not going to collect hundreds of millions of guns. You're not. I have friends that own a ranch here in the North Bay. They've got a lot of property. They hunt deer. They hunt other creatures, not necessarily on their ranch. I would say if you're out on that ranch, you need a weapon. You just have to have one. You know, sometimes I would imagine you have to put down an injured animal or defend your livestock or whatever it may be. I don't discount that there are people that need guns and use them responsibly. They had their kids all as, you know, young 10, 11, 12, practicing with rifles and shooting. That's the culture there. But they do it responsibly and they do it with a reason. I don't think that they should all be banned. As was mentioned earlier, keeping them out of the hands of the people who shouldn't have them. And in saying that, you allow me to step upon my red flag law soapbox. You guys know this. I remember back at KGO, I made my old boss, Lee Hammer, allow me to cut a promo because I interviewed someone that I really admire and respect. Garen Wintemute is his name, out of UC Davis. He's a gun violence researcher. And he came on the show, I think it was Pat Thurston's show at the time. And we were talking about red flag laws, which is basically the law that says, listen, I think my coworker, my spouse, my family member, my dad, my whoever is mentally unstable and they have a gun. Could you please come get the gun? And I think there's like 14 days the police have to investigate. They could give the gun back and say, no problem found here. Thank you for letting us know, but I think it's all good. Or they could then go to a judge and say, this person shouldn't have a weapon for a period of time. And then it's reassessed. That's a red flag law. It's called a gun violence restraining order in California. But I remember going to cut a promo because what Garen Wintemute said was that red flag laws work if people know about them. But people don't know about them. Did you know that if you have a suspicion that somebody is scaring you, that you could call and say, I want to make sure this person doesn't have a gun. This person at work is really scaring me. They've said some things. They've done some things. I mean, I don't think you go to the police without proof. And I sincerely would hope that no one would go to police to make up a story, although you always have those cases. But I would argue that even though you might get some phony ones, the police will investigate and figure it out. And that it's worth it to save lives and prevent mass shootings. That's what I think. So yes, red flag laws work. There are some people that argue that they take away people's rights. I'm always going to err on the caution of saving children at school. I am. I'm always going to err on the caution of not having someone barge into your workplace with a gun and open fire. So I just am. Leon writes, a well-regulated militia is being ignored. Eric writes, I kind of figured that out, Eric, yeah. You know I'm one of the show's resident socialists, Kim. You have a place here. You do. Your opinion is important and just as important as anyone else's. John says, maybe just have stronger background checks, maybe require a license to purchase a gun. Could also have a gun buyer talk to a psychiatrist. We have a big problem. We have to do something. What do they say? If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. So how do we expect gun violence in our country to change if we're not willing to make any changes, right? If we keep doing the same thing, offering up the prayers, love, thoughts, and prayers, then how do we ever expect anything to change? I don't think we can. Honestly, Dave says, yeah, I own a ranch. I have several guns. There's no reason a normal civilian, myself included, should have access to AR-15s. Thank you. All of my farmer and current military buddies agree. Yeah. But I think that you should be able to have a gun out on the ranch, Dave, for whatever ranchy reason you might need them. I've been out on my friend's ranch and I see what they're doing and I feel like if I lived out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, with coyotes roaming around or whatever, yeah, I'd want a weapon. Rattlesnakes, I don't know. But I don't live in a ranch. I live in a subdivision, and I can't think of a reason I need one. My dad's such a big advocate of us having a weapon. He says, you know, what if someone breaks in or you need to defend yourself or whatever? And I once interviewed a man who was a proponent of open carry, who's really, really nice, or concealed carry, whatever it was, open carry, concealed carry. I know they're different, but he was basically a proponent of having your own gun on your person, whether it was hidden or in plain sight. And he was such a nice person. And he said, Kim, if you call the police, here's the response time. It was a matter of minutes, something. In that 5 minutes, someone's already in your house. You're already gone. He made some really good points. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time when you have a gun in your house, it's used against you or one of your family members, or one of your family members turns it to it. So I feel like the risk is not worth the reward there in this country. Mountain lions and wild boar definitely would need protection at a location like that. Eric Kennedy writes, we need red flag laws for anyone with a domestic violence history. Yeah. Because we know that most of the time when there's a mass shooter, always in the list of bullet points underneath their bullet points, bad choice of words, my bad, I'm sorry. But there's always a you know, an asterisk history of domestic violence, right? Square says the GOP is far more of a you're either with us or against us than Democrats, such that a civil war would be hard if Trump is elected. I hope you're right. I really do. I would hate to see us get back to some type of, I mean, you saw the divisiveness that that Trump administration created with the help of Fox News and our friend Tucker, who's gone. I don't like to think about what would happen if our country went to war with itself again. Yes, John, I agree with you. You need a license to drive a car. You should have a requirement to pass at least a gun safety course to own a gun. Yes, it's harder to get a driver's license, get a daycare license, all these other things than it is to own a weapon that could kill someone in an instant. Lady Beatrice, I think the background checks only work if the potential gun owner is also subject to psychological evaluations. Just because they have a clean record doesn't mean they're up to nothing. That would be hard. I mean, if you think about the logistics of having every single person applying to own a gun or that owns a gun going through a psychological evaluation, I don't disagree that it's a necessity. How we implement that and how whether we have enough people to do it, I don't know. Dave says, well, driving is a privilege, not a right. I take your point. Just nitpicking. You're saying driving is a privilege, owning a gun is a right? Yeah. Not only a right, one of the most protected rights. Is that the first 10 articles of the Constitution? Those are the biggies. Too many mentally ill people not being treated too. David writes, my European business clients say there is no liberal party in the United States anymore. Let that one sink in for a minute. The Lady Beatrice, if they show anything wrong psychologically, it could be construed as the red flag. And we need the red flag laws because so many of these shooters have given them with no action take or given the guns with no action taken. Yeah. Robert writes, thoughts and prayers for Tucker Carlson. Indeed. I guess that's the nice thing to offer him thoughts and prayers. I don't. Does that mean? John says AR-15 is not as powerful as the same semi-auto hunting rifle. Rifles are used in the small portion of shootings. You start getting into types of guns and my eyes kind of glaze over. I don't really understand the differences between them. You'll talk about an AR-15 or some type of assault rifle, and then you've got all the gun people who know saying, well, you got it wrong. It's actually this kind of gun or it's that kind of gun. You know what? If it's a gun that fires multiple bullets at once, that's what I don't want out there in someone's hands who can hurt people. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, it's true. A woman and her daughter were shot dead this weekend in Oakland by the boyfriend. A situation of domestic violence, and the daughter was only 13 years old. So sad. And I don't know if there was a sign ahead of that. I would think there was. Who knows? Nick writes, if you feel the need to own machine guns for any reason, I would argue that you are mentally ill. Yeah. Let's move on to Democrats asking a wealthy GOP donor to provide a list of expensive gifts that he has given to Supreme Court Justice. Who? Clarence Thomas. Senate Finance Committee Chair Ron Wyden making the request in a letter to billionaire Harlan Crow. Wyden also asked for proof that the two complied with federal tax law. We're not getting that list. We are not getting that list. Why? Because Justice Clarence Thomas was told, these are all the things you need to tell us, tell the government. These are all the things you don't. And technically, you never needed to tell him any of this. So if he doesn't have to disclose all those things, why would he circle back around and do it now? His ethics are already being called into question. Why would he then come up with a list of all the trips, all the stuff, all the fancy champagne and the caviar, you know, the vacation to the wherever, Greek islands, I don't know. the yacht rides. Why would he have to, why would he purposefully list all those and hand them to a committee, the Senate Finance Committee? I don't think he will comply with that. And I don't think that Harlan Crow will comply either, because legally, I don't think they have to. That's why they need to change the rules. You expected justices on the United States Supreme Court to be the pinnacle of ethics, the cream of the crop. These are the best we could find. Our government even voted on it. They held hearings to vet them. These are the best of the best. These are the people with the best ethics who we put in place to make sure everything's on the up and up and our laws are right, that everything's fair. Well, it turns out maybe they don't have the best of ethics. They're not the cream of the crop, right? And they do need the rules, like everybody else needs the rules. You can't, as president, accept big, lavish gifts without, you know, disclosing that this has happened. And I think even there's rules to say you can't even do it. Any gift given a president, I think it goes to the archives or the Smithsonian or something. I don't know. You can't keep stuff like that. And so now here you have a Supreme Court justice with their ethics called into question, supreme question. But I don't think they're going to comply. I don't see Justice Clarence Thomas writing a list of all the things he's received over the last however many years. Do you? You think he's going to do that? And do you think his buddy Harlan Crow is going to say, yeah, by the way, I bought his mom a house. By the way, we had this great trip to wherever. Oh, and I gave him this. And yes, I took him to dinner here. That was a $10,000 bottle of champagne. No, he's not going to say any of that. He's not. Has he reaped the rewards? Has he, even in a roundabout way, had any associates go before the Supreme Court that Justice Clarence Thomas then felt beholden to make a decision that would benefit the associate of Mr. Crow? Will we ever be able to prove that? I don't know. Let's see what you're saying about this. Another reason why nothing gets done, people demonizing law-abiding gun owners that don't hurt anyone. I agree with that. There are law-abiding gun owners. I was talking about my friend on a ranch. Absolutely. Mindy says there are not enough rules for the Supreme Court. I think that we might see a change in that. I do. Lori says, if you're getting a job for life that can affect a whole nation, there should be explicit ethics rules for everyone to see. Oh, Lori, if only you were in charge, because how much sense does that make, what you just said? Absolutely. If you're getting a job for life that can affect an entire nation, there should be explicit ethics rules for everyone to see. 100%. I could read that 50 times and be like, yes, hallelujah. Nick says, I don't care. You're talking about guns again. No one needs those weapons. They exist because of fear. And it's that same fear that's killing people. We can all do better. We should do better. End of story. Got a problem. Got to fix it. No one's willing to. You know, no one's willing to say that it's okay to be progressive enough to want to fix the problem. Which I don't think means taking guns away from everybody and having no guns in America. I just think we have to make some serious changes. Supreme Court thing, though, I'm telling you. Yeah. I didn't realize that there were no explicit rules, Lori. I mean, I just figured they're a government entity. They had to comply. But to find out that the rules are different for Supreme Court justices, or that there are no rules, kind of a shocker to me. It's like a big gaping hole of loophole left undone. Yeah, Square says Lori is spot on. That's very true. Well, if you have an opinion on that, I'd love to hear about it. Let's talk about this leaker for a minute. We'll talk about the leaked NATO documents show Ukrainian officials held out on attacking Russia on the first anniversary of the invasion at the request of the United States. Really? United States says, please, no bombs today. And they did that? The Washington Post cites documents that recently surfaced as revealing that American officials pressured Ukraine to back down on the strike over concerns about escalating the war. Okay. Are you, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that too. So that's another thing to throw out. And let's circle back around. Mark seemed legitimately upset that Bed Bath & Beyond is closing. You guys upset about it? I haven't been there in a long time. But I liked the store. And I liked the idea. And it was so convenient if you needed something for your kitchen or something at a good price, had your little 20% off blue coupon. I used to keep a little stack of them in my glove compartment because no matter when they expired, they'd always take it. So I don't know. I mean, is it upsetting to you to lose one of these big box stores that it's kind of like losing a Target, you know, it's kind of like a comfort place where you're able to always rely on it for what you need. Is that upsetting to lose that? I'm more upset about Supreme Court ethics, but maybe you're upset about it. Eric says BB&B was only worth it if you had a coupon. They were overpriced. Oh, you're talking about gun laws still. Yeah, true. I love the conversation you guys are having. Vilma says Clarence Thomas is not the cream of the crop. True. He was corrupt from the beginning of his tenure and will continue to be soon. Yeah. Should have listened to Anita Hill. That's what they should have done. That's one of that. Remember, that's where Joe Biden was like, he had to apologize years later. Because when you go back and look at the tape, it's like, oh, she was so mistreated. Imagine the guts it took to come out and say what she said. Yeah. A lot of talk about guns. You guys are having a really great gun conversation. Lori says, I think most people did not know about the lack of ethics rules for the Supreme Court of the United States. Assumed it was the same as four lower courts. I did. Now that it's out there, maybe something that can garner bipartisan support and pass Congress. Especially since you have members of Congress being held to higher standards than the Supreme Court. I would think it's something that you could pass in a bipartisan way. You know, if I think the argument is, hey, if we have to, this being a, you know, a member of Congress or the Senate or whomever, if we have to uphold these rules, if we have to live by these rules, you should definitely have to live by these rules. I don't know how anybody would not be able to see that. I don't know. Natalie writes, Supreme Court willing, I'm past my childbearing years, but I'm more upset about Bye Bye Baby closing because there really aren't any more baby stores, but there are other home stores. I think, yeah, isn't Bye Bye Baby somehow connected with Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't know. I have never seen one, and I've never been to one. Bye Bye Baby. But I remember being upset when Toys R Us closed their stores. Nancy says, if I had a coupon, I would occasionally go. I don't want to lose all those stores. Kim says, it's a bummer because if I need something right now, how am I going to get it? They had stuff I may only be able to get on Amazon, and that's 2 days or more for delivery. And you know what? Sometimes you just need to see it. Sometimes you want to go compare. Maybe you didn't realize this other option was available as you're standing there looking at toaster ovens, right? Maybe you're like, oh, look at the Breville. I had only been looking at this other brand. So it's nice to be able to go look at the pans, feel the pans, see what you want. Maybe I'm just too touchy-feely. Yeah, I'm trying to sift through your comments here. Natalie, Bye Bye Baby and Bed Bath & Beyond are the same company. Both are closing. I've never seen I don't know if we have a Bye Bye Baby in the Bay Area, at least not in the North Bay. I don't recall ever having seen one. I'm blocking you because while I can appreciate that you have some gastrointestinal issues, I don't think you're here to actually be part of the conversation. Robert says, apparently the Chief Justice Roberts is turning a blind eye to Justice Thomas's corruption. Meanwhile, Congress is allowed to use insider trading and seems to me both branches are rather exceptional and corrupt. You will get no argument from me, Robert. Kim says, yeah, I like to touch and feel. I'm not an online orderer. I'm all about the brick and the mortar. Cheryl is giving you an option if you like the Bye Bye Baby. She says, the kids' company in San Carlos has really cute baby clothes. That's the thing. Then you have to drive all the way to San Carlos. It's like you want one of those places in the community. Nick says that find it generally to be true that wanting a means of killing people is indicative of mental illness. They're still talking about the weaponry. Yeah. There's one in Pleasant Hill. There's one in San Jose. Okay, so they are in the Bay Area. Thank you. I had never seen a Bye Bye Baby before, but I like a good baby store. That's for sure. I guess you're stuck then either ordering something online or going to Target or another such store or an expensive, you know, they have those kind of boutique-y stores. I guess that would be the case. Mindy says, yeah, San Carlos is a beautiful city and the downtown area is really nice. So that's cool. Some other stories for you. It looks like, as we were talking about assault weapons moments ago, there is a study today, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, it's a Monmouth University poll that says nearly half of Americans support an assault weapons ban. It's 46% of respondents in a Monmouth University poll say they are for banning future sales of assault weapons in the United States. 80%, according to this study, of respondents would support comprehensive background checks. It's interesting how they wrote that, though. You know, you ever hear a news story and you see like what they chose to pick? Nearly half of Americans support an assault weapons ban, 46%. So why couldn't you have written it the other way and said 44%? I don't know. Or Americans are almost evenly divided when it comes to whether assault weapons should be sold in the United States. There's a million ways you could have written that, but I always find it interesting, the spin. In this case, the lead is nearly half of Americans support an assault weapons ban. Just interesting the way they wrote it. You know? Turns out that President Biden is going to be welcoming another world leader to America. He will be hosting the president of South Korea this week at the White House for a state visit. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, said the two leaders will commemorate the 70th anniversary of the U.S.-South Korea alliance. They are also expected to discuss the threat of North Korea and the war in Ukraine as well. Interesting. Here's something that's probably a long time coming. Fort Lee is being renamed to honor Black pioneers in the Army. The Virginia base, named after a Confederate general, will be renamed Fort Gregg Adams. It is one of the 9 Army bases named after Confederate leaders to be renamed, that according to a statement from the U.S. Army. I don't know much, and I haven't done the research on Gregg-Adams, who Gregg was and who Adams was. But, you know, I think maybe to name these bases after Confederates was maybe an olive branch way back when, or out and out racism. I don't know. But I think it's very interesting. There's a story out of the Progress Index that these Black pioneers in the Army are going to be remembered. And I need to show you this picture that I just found because they're not both men. How cool is this? Check it. A man and a woman. Look at that. That's pretty cool. Let's find out what she did. Yeah. 2 other Virginia installations will be receiving other names as well. So that's pretty cool. We wanted names, they said, and values that underpin the core responsibility of the military to defend the Constitution of the United States. We wanted names and values that evoke confidence in all who serve, confidence by emulating those whose names are on the installations. We too can rise to every challenge, overcome every obstacle, achieve excellence, and if necessary, sacrifice our lives for this country and other people. So the new names were mandated in the 2020 Defense Authorization Budget Package. Then President Donald Trump vetoed the package over that requirement, but it was overridden on Capitol Hill. I'm trying to find out more about Greg and Adams. The South Carolina-born Greg, according to the Progress Index, turned 94 on May 11th, began his 35-year military career at Fort Lee, and retired in 1981 as the Deputy Director of Logistics for the entire Army. A medal recognizing outstanding achievement in Army logistics is named for him. Adams, who hailed from North Carolina, joined the Army in 1942, rose to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, which at the time was the highest rank a female service member, could attain. She was put in charge of the 6,888th Central Postal Directory in England, which was responsible for delivering mail to and from the roughly 7 million soldiers fighting in World War II's European theater. She died in 2002 at the age of 83. So that's a little bit about who they were and are, because he's still with us. Look at that. Fort Greg Adams, Greg-Adams. Pretty cool, I think. I would rather have it named for them than some Confederate general. What do you guys think? Yeah, very cool. I mean, nice. That feels nice to me. Not just because they're Black people or that one is a woman. Because we're getting rid of the name Fort Lee. I like that. You guys have anything to say about that? I feel very happy that that's happened. That's a good news story. And I love the picture. I'm looking forward to the sign change. And David writes, yeah, appropriate that they're both from the South. Absolutely. And that he was stationed there, right? Pretty cool. I would like to think members of the military, I'm married to a former Marine, but I would like to think members of the military are happy about that. You know, are finding that it's a good thing. Sometimes I think you see the same sign every day or you're used to something. Change can be hard, but when you know the reason behind it, I hope people are happy there that work there. I know we talked earlier on the Mark Thompson show about Elon Musk. He's confirming the launch pad at his private spaceflight complex in South Texas was very, very badly damaged by last week's liftoff. It was a cloud of silt and sand blown miles away from Boca Chica Beach. Elon Musk saying on Twitter, they have been building on a steel plate that will go under the rocket, but it wasn't ready in time. So the launch pad, badly, badly damaged. Meanwhile, you heard this story, the Twitter accounts of dead celebrities are getting verified blue check marks because they'll let anyone who wants to pay for one. A Twitter report from insiders saying, yeah, people like Kobe Bryant, Chadwick Boseman, you've got Anthony Bourdain, other deceased celebrities have this blue check added to their account. Twitter apparently not responding to that as of yet. Interesting. Here's another story that had popped up today that I don't think we've talked about yet. The Biden administration's domestic policy advisor is stepping down. NBC reporting Susan Rice plans to leave the position next month. In a statement, President Biden credited her with helping expand the Affordable Care Act, enabling Medicare to negotiate lower drug prices, and capping the cost of insulin. I wonder why she's resigning, what she's doing. I don't know. Let's see what you're talking about in the chat. K&L writes, I love it. Military places of honor should reflect the folks that compose it. Truth. Judy writes, I'm disappointed that Harriet Tubman didn't get to be printed on money, something that President Obama pushed for before he left office. The Trump administration put a stop to that. Yeah, but you know what they couldn't put a stop to? They couldn't put a stop to Greg Adams, Fort Greg dash Adams. And there's something about that. I agree with you that would have been nice to have her on Money. But there's also something really lovely about seeing these pictures and knowing they are going to be honored with their names on what was Fort Lee. I find it to be poetic justice. Poetic justice. I love it. So Trump tried to veto that, couldn't do it. Let's just have a moment of celebration on that instead of being sad about the other thing, right? We'll take the small victories where we can get them. Love that picture. So good. Mindy says, aren't dead people's accounts moved off of Twitter? Possibly, but maybe you can, as long as you pay your $8 a month, use anyone's name you want. Maybe. Eric says, Judy, Trump tried to stop or reverse everything Obama did. That's true, including environmental laws. I was waiting for him to dredge up the reanimated corpse of bin Laden. It's a good one, Eric. So some interesting news today. Waking up to the news that Tucker Carlson had been let go was very welcome news. So I can't say today started off in a bad way, right? Vilma talking about Bed Bath & Beyond. Their price points, she says, are high without the 20% coupon. No, Vilma, your comments are always welcome here. Some great talking in the chat about assault weapons. You guys have a lot of really strong feelings about that, and I appreciate it so much. You could say over half of Americans against an assault weapons ban. Read, analyze, and think for yourself. What a concept. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's always when you hear a study, it's always about the way it is spun. I mean, it has to be seriously lopsided, you know, in order for you to say, you know, most of America is fill in the blank. If it's a 70-30 split, then you can say most. But and I know that they want to make it user friendly. Here's an old radio tip, news writing tip. They say the more numbers you use, the more people tune out. So if I were to give you the nitty gritty details and I were to say, you know, 43.5% of Americans feel this way to, you know, 52.5% feel this way and 48.9% feel this way, you're mired in the numbers. You're the points and the nines and the fives and the this and everything I just said, so that you're really losing, is so they say, the basics of what I just told you. All you're thinking about is all I heard her say was a bunch of numbers. So that's why they try to write it differently. And I understand that, but the way in which they chose to write it, you could argue, is partisan one way or the other. And I hate to always use it the way I come down on an issue, right? To write it that way. So, but sometimes it's hard when you quote numbers, because people don't want to hear, you know, don't hear the story, they hear the numbers. I saw a story that made me laugh today. And because maybe I'm a closet millennial. I don't know. I think I'm Gen X is what I am. But there's this story I thought was really funny. And it is that, it turns out, most millennials don't iron. As a matter of fact, they don't even own an iron. They have nothing to do with ironing. Nope. The story is actually a voicer from someone, a voice story from a reporter. So all the details aren't in this story, but they say a once popular household appliance is now not in every home. That millennials, it could be they like wrinkled clothing. I think it's more to the fact that they just don't have time to spend ironing, and they don't care as much if they have the line going down the front of their trousers, right? I have a steamer. I don't know what you guys have. I have a steamer in my garage. And if I need to steam something, like my daughter was in a parade over the weekend and she had to wear a tuxedo shirt and tuxedo pants and a cummerbund and a bow tie. So steaming the tuxedo shirt and the pants, because it's part of a uniform, Or if you're going for a job interview, maybe, and you have to dress up and steaming your shirt and making sure you look nice, going somewhere important. But other than that, there's no ironing going on over here. I'm glad to say that when I had, you know, those little beads that kids will put, they're like, this is so unhealthy to burn plastic. There are these little beads that you kind of put in, you arrange them in a pattern, and then you iron them. And the beads melt together, the plastic melts together, and then you take it and you like use it as a coaster. I don't know if I have one around here. They're like a kid's craft, poorly thought out, now that we know that burning plastic isn't maybe the best environmentally. It's not what you want your kids breathing, right? But I remember doing that and having to borrow my mother's iron because I don't have one. Is that bad to admit? I don't know. And John says, I could cut diamonds with a crease in my pants. Good one. Kim says, I was dog sitting at my friend's house and I was looking for the iron. I couldn't find one. I brought it up to her when she came home and she said, oh, we don't have one of those. Why were you trying to iron, Kim? To tell you, Kim and I used to work together at Station X. Why were you trying to iron? What are you even thinking? Where are you going that you need to iron your clothes? Lori says, finally, something I agree with millennials about. Just bought an iron about 6 months ago because trying to cut dry cleaning costs, laundering and pressing part. Yeah. Maybe nobody cares if there's a wrinkle in your skirt. Maybe a t-shirt's just fine. Murphy says, Kim, I swear we are brain twins. I love that. Yeah, I just don't need an iron. Oh, Jefferson Graham. Hi. Thank you for joining in. I so appreciate you being here. Cheryl writes, ironing is very satisfying. I feel that way, Cheryl, about folding clothes. When I get a load of laundry out of the dryer, it means I have completed the process from collecting said dirty clothes to washing them, to drying them, and to now the final step of folding them. Would they ever get to their final destination in a closet or drawer? Likely not. My kids don't put away their clothes. Infuriating. I find them stacked under blankets. They've told me they put them away, but no. I've found them shoved in closets, under beds. I found instead of putting pants, shirts, and socks where they all go individually, just open a drawer and shove the whole pile in. Infuriating. So will the clothes get to their final destination? No. But can I look at the piles of freshly folded laundry and feel satisfied? Absolutely, I can. So I get why you think ironing is satisfying. But how awful that you have to just throw it back in the washer then the next day or whenever it's dirty. And then all your ironing is dead. Kim says, because I had something that was wrinkly. Then you know what? That thing does no longer belong in your wardrobe. That's why. Mindy says, exactly, Cheryl, ironing meditation. Have you tried the steamer? So much nicer. I don't think I have room to set up an ironing board, says Eric, much less time to iron, right? Job interview, also need to repair a couple things with iron-on patches. Yeah, Lori, it's the job interview. That's why I'm glad my mom has an iron, because I don't need one. Yeah, oh, you agree with my folding clothes, Cheryl, excellent. Murphy says, oh my God, my daughter has a mountain of folded clothes on her bed, clean, folded out. You know what's the worst? Is when then part of that pile gets knocked back onto the floor and then kicked back out to the dirty clothes area, and it's still actually folded. So you know that all that satisfying work that was completed was for naught, because it just went into the room and came back out and was never worn. I'm telling you, mom times. Ironing can make clothes look new again. It's true, but so can steaming, if you take the time to do that too. Kim says, good idea. Yeah, get rid of it. If it needs to be ironed, out. Gone. Love the steam pool when I iron. Cheryl says, I'll have to get a steamer. The Jiffy. Check the Jiffy steamer. Oh, I'm frozen in time again. Sorry, you guys. Nancy says, my laundry will arrive tomorrow. Oh, you just send it out? I want to be you, Nancy. I really do. Can use my iron to steam. Also bought a good one. It lasts for since it lasts forever. Oh, okay, great. Awesome. And you've got a little bit of each going for you there. Oh, you're talking about Sue Rice, who is no longer going to be with the Biden administration. David writes, and I haven't vetted this, so this is what David has to say. Reliable sources indicate Sue Rice had inside knowledge of the migrant child labor scandal for some length of time and took no action. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Not sure. Interesting to talk about, though, for sure. But I thought that was interesting that millennials don't own irons. Today is, I know that this is important to a lot of people. Today is National Bucket List Day. Do you have a bucket list? You want to share what your top couple things are on your bucket list with me? April 24th celebrates it to remind folks to set new goals and to live life to the fullest. A bucket list is defined as things a person would like to experience or accomplish before they die, right? Called, also known as kick in the bucket. So that's why they call it your bucket list, things to do before you kick the bucket. It can include vacation destinations, life milestones like graduating from college, or something like going skydiving, you know, something you've always wanted to do. Maybe going to see the Northern Lights. I don't know. Apparently, people across the U.S. are going to have a rare chance to see the Northern Lights into Monday morning. So you may have already seen them this early this morning. I don't know. But do you have a bucket list? It is National Bucket List Day. There are some things I've always wanted to do, like see the Northern Lights. I've always wanted to take a cruise to Alaska. I've always wanted to go on a wine and food tour of Italy. I'd love to see the Greek islands. Maybe not with Harlan Crowe, but, you know, I'd love to see the Greek islands. I've always wanted to stay in, I forget the name of it. I'm going to butcher it. It's called, I think it's Rotorua. It's one of these islands kind of near, I think near Fiji, where you walk out to a little villa, like a straw thatched hut over the ocean. Yes, I know I'm frozen. I'm sorry, but I can't unfreeze myself without going away. And I can't go away without ending the show. And I'm not quite ready to do that yet because I want to know. Yes, Roatan. That's right. Thank you. It's Roatan. You got it right. Yes, I've always wanted to go there and stay in one of those little huts over the sea. That'd be really fun. Cook Islands. You always want to go to the Cook Islands? Mindy Lee says, yes, Northern Lights. I want to go to Italy. Eat spaghetti. John Smith says, huts on the water. No, John, the nude cruise is not on my bucket list. I prefer no nudity in my cruise. Beth says, oh, I'm so excited. Just finished a bucket list item. Went to South France and explored the prehistoric cave paintings. Beth, please send pictures. That is the coolest thing. Wow. I love that. I did complete a bucket list item. I had never been to Europe. And I went right before the world closed and all the flights were shut down. I had to cut my trip from 2 weeks to one. But I can now say that I have been to Europe. I went to France. I went to the Eiffel Tower. Didn't get to see a lot of France because the second week was going to be France. I went to Germany, to the city of Trier, and Belgium, and stayed in a castle, and Luxembourg. And so that was really exciting. To say that I've done that, to have that experience, feels really good. I always felt like my life wasn't as full because I didn't have that experience. So I know travel is something that a lot of people are looking forward to. Ooh, the Seychelles, John Smith says. Rarotonga, yeah. Yeah, I can post comments. Even though I'm frozen, I can do that. Or sometimes our system. I think by the fourth hour, my computer's like, yeah, no thank you. I should probably put my picture up instead of my video, huh? Okay, I'll do that. It's cuter. You want to go to the Cook Islands, says Kim. That's where those places are. I want to go there too. John says, ride the Trans-Siberian Railroad. Ooh, that's a good one. I guess that won't happen thanks to Putin. Lori says, skydiving, Galapagos. Galapagos would be fun. Antarctica. I have no desire to skydive, but I appreciate those who do. And I think it's one of those life-altering moments. Mindy says, yeah, France. That would be fun and delicious. John says, a good bucket list would be to go to all the exotic shooting locations of the James Bond films. John's got, John Watson has Madagascar on his list. Kim says, I got to go to Bali right before the world shut down. Now I want to do nothing but travel to check off more bucket list places. Close all the other windows. You know that, I will say that, this to you, Jefferson Graham, that is the only window open on that computer. See, I have two computers, one for news and chat and all the rest, one for just the camera, which is kind of up higher, and I don't touch that computer. It's the only window open, so I don't know. Jenny says her bucket list, one of the top things is Australia. I could see that. That'd be really fun. There's some big bugs there, though, that scare me. So, yeah. So those are some good ones. Maybe today on bucket list day, think about setting a goal. Just pick one thing, not like a whole list maybe, but a goal. You know, give yourself 5 years to achieve it. Set that goal and see if you can. And maybe the goal is doing something like getting a degree or, you know, going to one of those places that you'd always wanted to see, or even putting together back together a family relationship that may be broken, or meeting a relative you never met before. A lot of people have relatives in other countries or other states that maybe they know you've got this cousin, but you've never seen that person. Time is of the essence. Scott says, Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls. Good thing on the bucket list. Gary D writes, a solar eclipse. A lot of good ideas. So yeah, maybe set the goal today. Take a look at it. What's that one thing that's really important to you that if you kick the bucket tomorrow, you would regret not having done? I think for me, I really want to see Scotland. I just do. I know. It's a big surprise with the last name McAllister, right? But I'd really want to see Scotland. I would regret it if I died before seeing that country. Yes, a lot of people are telling me how to fix this, but you know what? I cannot power down the computer without ending the show. So no can do. I have to just stick with my frozen self, but that's okay because the show is about to end and I thank you all for being here. So let me just say thenickimadoroshow.com is the way to financially support the show, to find the show. If you have a hard time navigating YouTube, sometimes if you go to YouTube and you're like, where's today's show? You click Mark's coffee cup or you click Nikki's little red circular icon. All of a sudden, all the shows line up in order. So I had a problem with that too for a while. But you can also find the shows on the website. You can find the podcast links on the website. And you know, the show can be listened to just via podcast, no picture, just sound on pretty much all podcast platform. So that's Apple, that's Google, that's Spotify, all the big ones, even some smaller ones, we're out there for you. So that's a great way to listen to the show and take us along with you. And then it's like listening to the radio of old, right? There you go. The super chat is always live. Even if you're listening in a recorded way, you can always financially support the show. And please, whether you're watching live or recorded here on YouTube, click the thumbs up, clicky, clicky. We appreciate that so much. So we will end this version of the Nicki Maduro Show like we normally do with my boy, Jacob. Thank you guys so much for being here with me. I'm back tomorrow and hope to continue the conversation with you then.
Nicki, you're also awesome. You're sprout. Like a beautiful blossom. You're also the best. I really can't rest. You're all so awesome.
Wow. Okay.